Okay, our next speaker is John Park, and he's a senior public health analyst with the Division of Systems Development of the Center for Substance Abuse Prevention. He's a primary COR for CSAP's data collection, analysis, and reporting activities. He's also directed the cross-site evaluation of the SPF SIG program since its inception. Previous to SAMHSA, he was a senior epidemiologist at the Maternal Child Health Bureau at the Health Resources and Services Administration.
As the moderator said, I'm from SAMHSA, and we are grateful that the CST had selected SAMHSA as a great partner, and we are humbled by it, and to be followed by the fellow that we supported. Thank you. And I also wanted to do a little push. We had a thing called the National Prevention Week last month, and actually I had some leftovers. So what I did is I brought a lot of these. It actually looks like a wristband, but it's got 2 gigs of memory at the USB port. So you just pick them up as you go out. Arrow? Okay. All right. This audience is a little strange to me because I usually do the updates on SPIP-SIG's Strategic Prevention Framework state incentive grants on annual basis to the substance abuse group. And so I think I do need to do a little bit of an introduction to you all because I don't see any faces that I usually meet. SAMHSA had done a cross-site evaluation of the what we call SPIF-SIGs since 2004, and we have funded 6 cohorts so far of the grants, and so we are nearing the end. We just ended the 5th cohort. And we only have 1 more cohort left to do the evaluation. What I'll do is I think I'm going to describe the strategic prevention framework. This is a framework that we use to make available to the practitioners of the substance abuse prevention. As you can see, this is a kind of a circular, and you probably saw or are familiar with the models like this, you know, that starts with assessment and ends with the evaluation. But we made sure that this is in circular format because of the assessment really should be going along with the evaluation on an ongoing basis. So that's why we put it in circular. So this framework goes from assessment of the needs, going through to the capacity building steps, then going to the strategic prevention planning of phase, and then implementing it. But evaluation is actually throughout the whole cycle. That's centrally monitored by sustainability and cultural competence of the programs. Now we let's see. Why is SPIF different from other prevention the federal prevention efforts different? Because we like to make sure that everyone who uses the framework use real data, epidemiological data to set the priorities at the state level and justify the resource allocations, and so we call this data-driven planning. Another thing is that we made sure that the people who use our system rely on the population-based outcomes to compare, pre and post a type of a situation. I'm going to fly through some of these slides real quick because I want to get to the outcomes first. The factors that helped to facilitate the implementation of the SPIF-SIGs. Now, I just introduced the SPIFs, the process. Now, what SAMHSA did is to give out the grants to the state level, the jurisdictions. I introduce you to the five cohorts of the jurisdictions, and that's called SPIF-SIGS. SIG stands for State Incentive Grants, and these are just what it says. We gave incentives to these states to use it and then to demonstrate the effectiveness of SPIF process and then use that process onto doing other things. As you can see, that the process is not just for the substance abuse prevention. It's, you know, you can use it for just about any planning processes. Okay, I'm going to give you the results first, and then we'll kind of backwards. From the multi-level models that we've done, we've seen pretty good indications. Things went the right directions for the alcohol use in youths, binge drinking, driving after drinking, and marijuana use and binge drinking in young adults and alcohol-related motor vehicle fatalities in all age groups. Okay, I'm going backwards again. What we did is that because we've done a lot of the evaluation studies already, we published our information and distributed them among the different venues. And there are examples of three information briefs that we put out. We also did peer review journal articles, and last one was just came out last year on sustainability of the state level substance abuse infrastructures. And as I showed you before, sustainability is very important to us. You know, it doesn't do any good to give out a lot of money to the states and then not really see the effects sustained. We also put out the data to the researchers who are out there, and what we did is so we took the data, we collected a whole bunch of data, and still collecting actually. The data is cleaned and we produce the code books for the researchers so that it will be easier for them to use them, and we put them up in the ICPSR. So even though they are restricted files, it's free to use for any member organizations and the students and the researchers who want to use them. Okay, so this is the nitty gritty. How much time do I have?
You have 14 minutes.
Okay. So two major research questions, both within across the states. Did the SPIF funded intervention activities lead to community level differences, improvements, and if they did, what accounted for that difference? I'd like to show you the variability across the states in the way that we asked these SPIF-SIG grantees to do. There are a number of priorities from one to many, but what that one had to include the underage drinking. So that's why you saw a lot of data on underage drinking. In some states, all funded communities had same priorities and others didn't. Some states, in essence, there are a lot of flexibilities and variabilities across the states, and this is by design, so that the framework provides the flexibility for the states to be innovative in the use of the SPIF process. Some states provided data for the unfunded communities, and others didn't. And the reason for that, for us asking that to provide the data for the unfunded communities, are so that we can compare and plus the pre and post type of a thing. Like I said, we have a lot of data, but for evaluation purposes, we did these criteria for the data for this particular across site evaluation is that we had to have pre and post data. Post data starts with the very first year of intervention that implementation that started the fourth step in the circle. Usually that's about the third year of the grants that was given. We also for the state level we also use the high coverage states, meaning at least 50% of the state population was covered under this grant system. So I'm going to show you some results and I'll fly by them pretty quick and just give you some flavor of the type of data that we have. We have you see this data source FFF type of a thing. What you're going to see is that we try to protect the identities of the states. So these funny looking ID codes you actually stand for a state. Anyway, in this case, we have underage drinking of alcohol in past 30 days in the grades 9 through 12. And as you can see, the blue line is the pooled community partners, meaning the coalition type of things within that particular state. So and the red lines are the pooled comparisons. So you can see that the funded communities had even though they started a little higher, better results than the pooled comparisons. And this is a very similar thing with another state, the SPIPSIG student surveys, comparing the pooled community partners and the comparisons. This looks at the youth marijuana use in the same state that we did the first, and you can see the results. And I'm gonna just some other. This is the diverted prescription drug type of a thing. So there's another improvement there in the use of the SPIP process. Okay, so this is the alcohol-related motor vehicle crashes, injuries, and death. And this particular slide shows the pooled communities as opposed to the statewide. And this statewide data is from the NISDA and FARS. And in adult, young adult binge drinking, so we have the pooled community partners greatly improving while in that state, while the pooled comparisons have tanked, essentially. So there are some. I I'm going to fly through some of these because I want to get to the our discussion phase. So what I show that this is a summary table of all of the communities, and that has pre and post data, and then I showed those communities that had the better results, and the next two columns are the ones that picked out for significantly better results and some with the significantly worse. Believe it or not, there are some states that we funded, the communities that we funded, that after the funding things didn't go so well. So we really don't. First of all, we have to really look at why. And I share with you some examples of some of the things that to show you what's happening. So this is another pre and post by the state, you know, whether they've gotten better or worse type of a thing in different outcome measures. this is kind of a different this is at the state level. Now, the combination of all of the communities into at the state levels. State level outcome analysis, and I'm going to show you some for some high coverage states, meaning at least 50% of the population was affected by through this funding. And these are some of the examples. The alcohol use, underage alcohol use in past 30 days. And you can see that in this state, we had done slightly better than the United States average. And this is in adult binge drinking, self-explanatory. And some other examples of you know, looking at the motor vehicle fatalities that are alcohol related. So at the summary level, we just wanted to share with you how, you know, what are the kind of the relatively, you know, the decrease in the outcomes, meaning actually better, doing better in these states. So, so this is a general conclusion that we have about what we had seen in the SPIP6 states so far. They are pretty favorable results between pre and post. But then also we saw many of them having the unfunded communities have gotten also better too. But it looks like about in 2/3 of the cases, the targeting communities have actually really done better than the comparison communities. So what made the difference? So I'm going to just go through at the state level. We state level implementation. So, I think I shared with you that we made sure these states that we funded that they implement the process with as much fidelity as possible. So the state level implementation and fidelity of the implementation is very important. And the level of infrastructure that state had makes a big difference. And state population makes a difference. The reason why I mention this is that those states with the larger populations like New York, they didn't do so well. And we have to really figure out why. And so that's kind of our next step of the evaluation that we'll try to do. Community level predictors, you know, there are four major ones that we can pick out. Funding. When these communities have fundings that is not just from the SPIF, but they are also funding from other the organizations or agencies and such, they seem to do better. I mean, I think that's kind of given. So that means that these communities have a lot more support from the communities, other agencies, and such. Coalition capacities. You know, I told you the community partners that who did well, and these are the ones with the capacities of the communities being coalescing into a really working type of a situation. So, step scores. Oh, yeah. This is the thing about the implementation fidelity. Step scores. You know, these first three steps when the scores are high for the implementation at these steps, they tend to do better. And that's also kind of not surprising. Intervention variables. When the communities take some strategies and they try to kind of adopt them in such a ways that that is useful for their own communities, they tend to do better. And again, that is not surprising. So, oh, I ran. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. And okay. I guess I'm just really running through it. 1 minute. Yeah. I really went through it real quick, and knowing that not too many people are really involved with the SPIF. How many of you know about the SPIF process? Oh. Well, okay. That's good. All right, because I really haven't spoken to an audience like this, so I wasn't really sure whether how widely available this is. Now, I don't want to be boastful or anything. Many of the major substance abuse prevention programs, like Communities That Care and Prosper, and those have adopted the SPIF, and they have really bought into the SPIF process, and they are reporting their data based on these steps. And so I think the more evaluation studies that we do, that we will be able to give you more enriched data because of all of these systems are joining the SAMHSA's SPIF process in running their programs. Thank you very much.